welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony. Today we have a second interview with Casper McLeod, and it's a great interview, fascinating, covers a lot of ground, including his near-death experience, healings, miracles, and then later on we get into the deceptions that are facing the world in terms of alien deceptions and a lot of other topics as well. It's an excellent interview. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I hope you get the same amount out of it that I did. I'm welcoming back for a second interview, Casper McLeod. So it's great to have you back on for part two, Casper.
I'm delighted to be here for part two. Having a great time with you.
Yeah, and me too. And I mean, there's just so much to talk about. Firstly, I just want to get into your salvation and healing of yourself. You know, like there was a TBN documentary put out about this. Can you give the listeners a little bit of a background as to what actually happened?
I can. I was diagnosed with a very serious heart disease. I was playing with some friends called the Newsboys. I was a guest artist. We're just sitting in with them one night at a concert, and I was probably about 10,000 people there. And I walked off the stage, and some hours later, I thought, it felt like I've been jogging for hours, you know. So I ended up in ER, and they told me I was going to die from an incurable heart disease. Now, whenever I hear the word incurable, I'm absolutely convinced at this stage that there's an unclean spirit operating behind it. My friend Peter Phillips, who's left the Newsboys and went on a solo career after 25 years, I mean, all the guys in the band were praying for me that night, but Peter came alongside and said, "Hey, my dad prayed for a blind person in Australia and they got their sight back." And I started hearing more and more about these miraculous testimonies. And I'd heard about several of people that were raised from the dead. One story I uncovered was, it happened in Wales, at Conwy Castle, which was a castle that I used to really like to go to in my younger days. I used to love going there and just visiting this old ruin, Conwy Castle. And I discovered that there was a young boy. I wrote about this in my first book, Nothing's Impossible. And he was a little boy that fell off the castle wall. And in the middle of the night, he wandered out of his crib and fell off. And they found him quite dead in the morning. Back then, they had the crowners, which they now call corners. And the original crowners, and this would have been like the 1500s or 1300s, I forget now, we'll have to look it up. But they came along and they were signing the death certificates for this young lad. And a Christian man came along from the village and said, "Can I pray for him?" And they said, "You can do whatever you like. He's quite dead, you know. Go ahead, do whatever you like." So this Christian man, I think his name was John Wayward, something like Theodore Waters. He prayed, and the young man came back to life. In fact, not only did he come back to life, but he showed absolutely no signs of being dead for hours and hours. He had a little bruise on his cheek, as I recall, that healed up within a couple of hours after that. He just went back to playing like nothing had ever happened. And I thought at the time, "Well, Lord, if you're still doing that today," because that, you know, happened, the churches that have been erroneously teaching, "Well, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, miracles and healing, passed away 2,000 years ago when the last apostle died." Well, when did the last apostle die? It says that God's going to, he's going to make teachers and evangelists and pastors and prophets. An apostle, when did they're in the same sentence for equipping the saints. So when did the apostles and the prophets get taken out? Who took them out of the scriptures? So I realized one day that these gifts were still for today. In fact, I have a very dear friend named David, we call him David Zed, David Zachariah. He's a recording engineer, producer, and artist himself. And we were in the studio, and he asked me if I wanted to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. At the time, I didn't really know what that meant, but I said, yeah, I want whatever God's got for me. Lay it on me, man. You know, just go ahead. So he prays for me, and it was an extraordinary moment. it was life-changing. So I know for a fact these things are real. And in fact, I had a conversation just recently. I walked into a building, and some guy asked me, hey, do you play guitar? And we started chatting for a moment. And next thing I know, I told him straight away, I was actually in a pastor. And so he said, oh, are you one of those guys that believes in speaking in tongues? And he was from one of those mainline churches that teach that that doesn't happen today. So he started giving me his rhetoric about why it doesn't happen. And the Holy Spirit came over me, and I just started going through the scriptures with him. And I remember getting to someplace like, well, what do you do with Acts 19, where Paul and Silas came across two born-again Christians. These were born-again Christians. And he said to them, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they said, we haven't even heard about that. And he said, what did you get baptized with? Well, John's baptism of water. So they laid hands on him, and immediately they started prophesizing and speaking in unknown tongues. So there's a lot of evidence for that. I would also like to qualify the fact that speaking in tongues is just one of the evidences. You know, the Lord just wants to use you. And just because you're born again doesn't mean you're fully equipped to do all the things that God's got for you. So this is important part of it, you know. To answer your question before I go off on another trail here, I asked the Lord, I prayed, I mean, if this is true, that you're still raising the dead and healing the blind and the lame and deaf, you know, then I need some more evidence. And a friend of mine named Seth Barnes, who is an organization called Adventures in Missions, and he sends, you know, missionaries all over the world, and dear friend of mine, and he sent me a message about a guy over in Africa that was a pastor, and they're so poor in Africa, when they go to Bible school, they just come with whatever they're wearing, that's it. So they just really believe God at his word. I mean, God says what he means and means what he said, right? We just need to believe him. And so this guy came across a woman named Rosa, who had died, a young woman in her 20s in the village, and she'd been dead for a day or so. And he went to praying for her. And so the pastor that was with him, that was from America, said, you know, I mean, I'll pray for a dead person for maybe, you know, 5-10 minutes max, maybe. And if God doesn't do something, then I'm thinking he's not in it. But this guy, you know, because of what the scripture said, he prayed for several days, and the astonishing thing happened, that Rosa came back from the dead. The entire village became Christians after seeing this phenomenal miracle. So, you know, I started finding out more and more about that. I started learning about the spiritual root of diseases and why people get ill and sick in the first place. God's perfect plan really isn't to heal you. His perfect plan is that you don't get sick to begin with, because we're supposed to follow after him, you know, walk in divine health. That's really what he liked for us. So I went through an experience where I was learning this stuff, and I actually remember telling the Lord at one point, after, you know, really studying a lot, and I said, you know, Lord, I know that you can heal me anytime you want. I mean, you can, if I was to drop dead, you could bring me back today, tomorrow, or a million years from now. I mean, I'll just totally submit to you, Father God, in Jesus' name, you know. Well, I didn't realize I was going to get tested on that. So a few days later, I just got ordained. It was 2001, and I just got ordained as a pastor. The church I was attending, I'd already been a music minister for years, but they called me in and said God had spoken to them and that they wanted to ordain me as a pastor now. And my first thought was, well, if I'm going to die anyways, I might as well die serving God. So I decided, you know, go along with it. It was in So I think God calls people into the fivefold ministry. I don't think it's, you know, I know people go to school for this, but I think the best plan is that God calls you into whatever he wants for you, and you accept the invitation and go and submit and do whatever he's got for you. So this is what I try to do. And in 2001, I think with the documentary that you saw, I'd just gotten ordained the week before, and the church in South Georgia asked me if I would come share my testimony. I'd gotten off all medication the day I was ordained. And so I came down to give my testimony, and my medical doctor, who had become a very good friend, had accompanied me. She was in Montgomery, Alabama. She's got a place called the Fit Center, Dr. Terry Allen. And she was sitting there with a mum who happened to be from England. And long story short, the praise band heard that I was going to be playing and speaking in the service that evening. And so they asked me if I would sit in with them. Not knowing any of their songs, I thought, yeah, that's a great idea. Let me sit in with you and I'll get to improvise. And so as I was up there playing with the praise and worship team, and my doctor was sitting in the front row next to her mum, the enemy tried to kill me right in church. Imagine that, in the middle of praise and worship, my heart started going wrong. And I thought, this can't be happening to me. I've been healed of this. I wrote about it in pretty much great detail, but I could share this with you. When you leave here, you don't lose consciousness. I was fully conscious, but in another dimension. So I did apparently drop dead in the service, which is not, you know, a good thing to have people die in your church service. I mean, it's okay if the dead, you bring them in and have a service, but, you know, it's not good for the reputation of the church, right? Hey, people come here and die. So I jest, but it wasn't funny to me at the time. The pastor had looked at me because I did not, I walked off the stage when my heart started going wrong. It was probably beating 300 beats per minute, which is not designed to do, especially not long term. And there was an empty chair in the front row next to my doctor. And so I sat down next to her, and she immediately knew something was terribly wrong and reached over and took my pulse and said something very profound. She said, well, we've tried medicines. Now we're just going to have to trust God. The other part of that equation was we were really about 45 minutes to the nearest hospital. Mm. And so she just kept monitoring what was going on. And I had two major thoughts. Either I die and go be with the Lord, and on the day of resurrection I get a glorified body, or by his stripes I was healed. And I refused the given to a spirit of fear that was trying to, you know, obviously press against me. And so the pastor went on with the service, knowing I wasn't doing what they asked me to do. I wasn't going to come up and testify and play some songs at that point. And so near the end of the service, Dr. Terry said to me, we really need you to get some prayer, so let's go up to talk to the pastor. And he looked at me and said, you know, you're healed. And I said, I don't feel healed right now. And there was a nurse that happened to be there as well. And next thing I know, basically, I just dropped dead. I mean, that was it. Good night, nurse. So, and then I had this out-of-body experience. I remember there was, it's like I couldn't understand language on earth. I could see the commotion. I could see the pastor speaking authoritatively, but I couldn't understand anything he was saying. And then I realized he wasn't addressing me. He was speaking to something sinister behind me, which vanished. And then I was surrounded by this angelic presence. And it's almost too sacred a moment to really articulate. But the next thing I recall, I saw everything on earth all at the same time. I don't know how to explain that one, but that's what happened. And then I saw like a focus, like, you know, when you're at a stadium and at a concert and the camera's like looking at the crowd and it just focuses on one or two faces. It was kind of like that. And I just saw the pastor and the doctor, Dr. Allen, over my fallen body. And I saw the doctor kind of get pushed back, and she looked up in amazement and said, "How did you do that?" And the pastor said, I didn't do that. God did that. I asked him, and he did it in Jesus' name." So I came back and opened my eyes, and I said, what happened? I was trying to process why all these people were surrounding me and why I was lying on the floor. And my doctor kind of whispered in my ear. She said, "Well, that was spiritual warfare." And then she added, "Well, by the way, your heart stopped beating." So it was a very interesting time. Let me tie this up, because I got up. I was just, it was maybe 45 minutes later, I stood up, and it was a very unusual experience. I can't really explain it, but I just felt the presence of angelic beings around me through the night. And in the morning, I was with my friend, Dr. Terry. In fact, they wanted to keep me with them all night, and I assured them that I was fine. I spent a night by myself with the Holy Spirit. And so in the morning, I was talking to her, and she could tell I wasn't quite myself, and she started reading scriptures to me. I don't know what she read, but suddenly I felt better than I'd ever felt in my entire life. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "I want to baptize Terry, Dr. Terry's mum, in the Holy Spirit." And I was thinking, well, you know, I've been an ordained minister a whole week now. So I'm thinking, like, well, maybe I've got to, spend a couple of hours teaching about this. And he just said, "No, just tell her about it and lay your hand on her and pray." So I did that. And to my utter amazement, she was kind of maybe upper middle class English woman. There's a tendency to be a bit prideful in England, maybe we could put it like that. And I never saw this behavior in her before. She was just teared up, and she started praising God in an unknown language, which was really interesting. What I didn't know at the time was she had tumors in her breast that vanished at that moment. And I've been seeing miraculous things ever since. So I encourage people, just keep pressing in with the Lord. Keep asking, keep knocking. He said, if you diligently seek after him, you would find him. So whoever's listening to this, I just want to encourage you. Jesus is everything he said he is, and he wants to bless you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. And if you're struggling with some disease or sickness or broken marriage, a broken relationship, a broken business, come to him. He mends broken hearts. He mend my broken heart, he'll mend yours.
Wow, yes. And speaking of broken hearts, I believe your father had a bit of an untimely death, and that God sort of had to deal with you on that one as well.
He did. My father was murdered a few hours after our first child was born. I was playing rock star on Atlantic Records at the time, and management didn't want me talking about it. So I tried to repress all those emotions and feelings, and I had a fairly dysfunctional family growing up. I had a broken relationship with my earthly dad. There's nothing I could ever do to please him. And I found out that my heavenly father is quite pleased. I don't have to do everything perfect, none of us have, but he loves us and he accepts us. And in fact, when the Lord spoke audibly in the scripture, he said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And if you're part of the body of Christ, if you're part of the remnant church, the true spirit-filled believers, then he's saying that about you. He's well pleased with you as his son or daughter. In fact, there's a book by a friend of mine called The Tales of a Wandering Prophet. He's my friend Hubie Sin. His wife was miraculously healed when I ministered to her. I didn't know Hubie that well at the time, but a friend of mine had made an amplifier for my guitar when I was on Atlantic called the Trainwreck. Kenny Fisher made this amp, and Kenny was also friends with Hubie years later. And so after Kenny died, Hubie and I got to be good friends. He'd asked me if I would minister to his wife. And so I got on the phone with her. I'm thousands of miles away. And she was suffering with gestational diabetes at the time. And I realized she was Oriental straight away, and that her father gave her away because she was female. So I knew straight away this is probably where the enemy had come in. So I took her through a journey on the scriptures. She was a born-again Christian. And like I said, I think in the other interview we did, that you know, a lot of believers, a lot of people, whether they're Christians or not, don't like themselves very much.
Yeah.
And so I ministered to her, and I asked her husband to come in, and I said, look, the only thing I haven't figured out how to do over the phone is water baptize somebody, but with the technologies, the way they're going, we might get to that point. Just a little humor. And so I got on the phone and I said, put me on speaker. I want you to just hold your wife like you would a sister. She's your sister in Christ as well. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Just hold her, and God and I will do everything from here. And so I told Vicky, or she'd, and I know they don't mind me talking about this because they wrote about it in the book. And I said to her, can you forgive your father for what happened? And she said, yes, because if you don't forgive others, how? God can't forgive you if you don't forgive others. And if he can't forgive you, then how is he going to bless you and heal you? So that's step one. And then I said to her, I'm glad you're born. You're a good daughter. And, you know, I love you. God loves you. And he accepts you. And he's well pleased with you. And whatever the sort of thing we were talking about then. And she just burst into tears and just really gut-wrenching, you know, tears flowed from her for maybe 20 minutes. And what I didn't know at the time, they confirmed, they went to the doctor the next day, and the gestational diabetes vanished. Well, she was pregnant at the time, and that doesn't happen. That's phenomenal. So God can do anything. All things are possible with the Lord Jesus.
And, yes, speaking of that, so you had the incurable, supposedly, heart condition. Have you had any more experience of that since that, time when you were?
I walked in divine health for years and years and years. It was just amazing to me. I mean, I could be around people with sicknesses and diseases. I go into the ER and pray for people. I never brought anything back, never contracted things, didn't even get colds or flus anymore. So I had a really great run for, you know, about 13 years. And then unfortunately, I was in several near fatal accidents. But I'm still going strong, and I'm still out there. God's good, you know, and I know he heals all things, so.
Okay. Now, I just want to change direction a little bit here and look at your music again. I know you wrote the book, What Was I Thinking, that deals with the control of your thought life, and we talked about that in our previous part of this interview. And you wrote in a song called Mind of Christ. I take it, you know, it comes with, sort of associated with that book. And I mean, I've listened to that song, and I felt quite impacted by it.
Well, I'm delighted. That's what songs should do. A good song should impact your life. So,
yes, it's made me think a lot. So, and also recently you put out a song on video called America.
Yes, that was with Trey Smith. Trey had called me up and asked me if I'd write something for a film he was doing on the Trump landslide. It was before the presidential election. He was right on with his film. And my friend Richard Shaw, was the partner with Ali Marzulli, took the song and made a music video out of it. So if you put in Casper McLeod, America, it'll come up, and then it'll bring up Trey's film as well, the Trump landslide, which is even more interesting, I think, to watch after the fact.
Yes. So. And so you have a new record coming out, is that correct?
I do. I've got another record coming out. We just released the anthology not long ago, and I've got another one called Communion, which will be released very soon, I hope. So I'm excited about that.
That's great.
And I've got a new book Unmasking the Future has just come out as well, all about end times prophecies and why the church, for the most part, won't talk about these things. So that was the basis. LA and I were going to do a conference in some city, and I met with the pastors there, and they said, after I showed them the evidence, they're all excited. The next day, they rethought it and decided they could never let us come and do this conference because it, you know, might upset somebody, especially big tithers. And that was the basis for the book. It's like, this is ridiculous. This is the word of God. It's like, you know, in fact, the one guy wrote to me and said, if we find another place to hold the conference, he'd like to come, but they wouldn't let the congregation know about it. So he's like Nicodemus. Well, I'll come in and listen to you talk about UFOs and lying signs and wonders and Nephilim, but I don't want anyone to know that I'm there.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it really is.
It's hypocrisy.
It is,
it's
totally.
Hypocrisy.
The fact that, you know, the whole thing with much of the church, of the body of Christ, in the official circles anyway, it's money. It's, you know, they won't preach the truth because they're afraid of losing money, losing people out of their congregation and tithers. And that's completely wrong. It's the whole wrong spirit.
It is wrong. And if you would just do it, God said he would bless you with money. He would give you everything. He said, don't worry about it. I'll provide everything, right? Philippians 4:19, whatsoever you need, I'll provide. So, if you just do it, God said, he'll take care of all the details. So that's really, you know, the thing. A lot of the book was, you know, things on the road with L.A. Mulzuli. And, you know, L.A. is not like a lot of guys that just research things from their office. We actually go out on location and see for ourselves. So he's invited me on several expeditions I wasn't able to attend. And they discovered all kinds of fantastic stuff. And I've got some of the pictures in my book. About the implants, and there's a UFO picture that I took personally that I spotted and thought, what's that? And took a picture of it and had it heavily analyzed, and Richard Shaw blew it up and confirmed that that's in fact what we were looking at. So I think the book so far is people have gotten to read it, getting great reviews from it, and Derek Gilbert from Skywatch TV wrote a foreword for it. Janie DeVell, who on Sid Roth's It's Supernatural, she wrote me an endorsement, as well as Tommy James, my friend Tommy James from the Shondells, which I think is hilarious because he wrote, I think we're not alone now.
Yeah.
Went on to talk about the book, you know. So a lot of friends that I sent the manuscript to just wrote fantastic reviews. So I'm excited about the new album and the new book and just seeing people get blessed.
Yes, on that subject with the book, so, you know, we're told that there'll be a great delusion that comes, and I have a suspicion that at least part of that delusion may be the whole fallen angels masquerading as aliens or, you know, hybrids. And technology, right, like Project Bluebeam used, and, you know, I mean, the technology is light years ahead of what people know it is. And so we should be being warned of a great delusion, you know. But the church is not warning
people. Tell us these things. Yeah.
Yes.
These things are happening. You know, people could put their head in the sand like an ostrich, I suppose. But it doesn't make it go away, and then, you know, the biggest part of you is exposed. I think we've had a lot of these chats. I'm just thrilled that I get to hang out and get on the lecture circuit with these, you know, prophecy conferences we've been doing. Some of the most brilliant speakers and lecturers, authors. And, you know, I think it's very likely that part of the great deception is going to involve the idea of extraterrestrials, because the world's already set up for that. In fact, Derek Gilbert talks about that in the foreword he wrote, that there's really only 9% of real Christians left in the world that actually believe the word of God and all the basic tenets of Christianity. So that means that the majority is now believing in an extraterrestrial savior coming from some place in outer space. So you're really going to tell me that someone's going to travel millions of light years just to come and tell us that Jesus was wrong. The Vatican is set up and has been dropping not so subtle hints for quite a while now, saying things like where the top astronomer said he would love the privilege of water baptizing an extraterrestrial. You've got the mad scientist at CERN. We've got Revelation 9. I think they're going to help bring that prophecy to fulfillment soon. It's very likely we may hear one of these world leaders come forward and say, along with the Pope, who's a Jesuit, we've got some fantastic news and bring out some kind of demonic entity that's masquerading as an extraterrestrial. And they're going to offer us some kind of, pill maybe that you swallow or you inject and you won't die for hundreds of years and you'll be healthy, so they'll say. And then, the Bible talks about men crying out to let the rocks fall on us because they can't die. It's not what it seems it's going to be. And a lot of church, I think a lot of people just perishing from lack of knowledge. That's what Hosea 4:6, it tells us, and it's still going on, isn't it? So there's people that are refusing to hear the truth because they think it's scary. One of the things thrilled to hear back from people that have read Unmasking the Future is that it's really brought them closer and into a more loving relationship with our Savior. So if these pills or whatever they give you, some kind of injection, some mark of the beast kind of thing, it changes DNA. When we talked about how thoughts change DNA, probably maybe changing people more into a Nephilim type thing. I mean, this whole thing about transhumanism is really trying to corrupt God's image of man and woman and create a hybrid type, maybe fusing the best parts of men and women together, or tigers and lions and bears, oh my, creating some new kind of creature. So, which is, like the ancient Greeks, they held in high esteem the hermaphrodite. And what do you see happening today with all the gender confusion? There's a spirit behind this stuff, is what I'm saying. So I think, if people want to take a pill, best to take the Goss pill. It's free, and all the side effects are beneficial.
Oh, I love it. Love it. That's great. Yeah, I mean, we've had L.A. Marzulli and Josh Peck from Sharpening Report and Squirewatch TV, on our show, and also Stan Deo. All of those guys are, have a heck of a lot of knowledge on this sort of stuff. And I think all of them, would say that the church should be warning people and telling them, and by and large, the pulpits are silent, and so people are rife for the deception. I mean, most people have no idea about Project Bluebeam, and one of the pet things for me is I see actually people seeing things in the sky, like they might see a giant crucifix in the sky and everyone's going, oh, it's a sign from God, And I'm thinking, no, it's not a sign from God. It's quite likely a Project Bluebeam test,
Right.
But Christians just think every sign is from God, and they've got to wake up to the fact that, no, there's a strong delusion coming, and we're warned about signs and wonders appearing in the sky, and not to run after them.
You're absolutely correct on that. I spent some time talking with Stan Deo as well. I just rang him the other night because somebody had contacted me with some information, and I wanted Stan to check it out for me. Great guy. But he came right out and told us, Stan's a very nonchalant kind of way. Oh yeah, well, there's these demonic entities hanging out that are pretending to be extraterrestrials and military bases. There's a big one in Egypt and in Arizona. And like, really? Okay. I've got no reason to doubt him. I believe he's telling us the truth. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else is in that book in Unmasking the Future?
Well, I spent some time showing some things that are unfolding. I talked about Zachariah as well. One of our friends, Chief Joseph Riverwind, when LA and I met him together, and they were talking about how the American First Nations people, basically, they've got a lot of the same prophecies that we've got in the Holy Scriptures. and we were talking about it, and it led me to do a study on in Zechariah, because the only two female angels that are listed in the scriptures are in Zechariah, and they represent evil. And yet you go into a Christian bookstore and you see all these feminine little angels all the time, right? Well, I got to studying that, and I realized that Zechariah is saying a sort of flying scroll, flying roll rather, and it turns out when you study this, and I wrote about it, he's actually describing nuclear warheads. And it talks about how it goes in and it's designated, and people can't live in that area because everything's contaminated. And then, so these things are in the Word. And here's my take on it. And I've told my church, the Upper Room Fellowship, numerous times. So even if there is a nuclear exchange, we've got Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They actually did get thrown into the fiery furnace, which was so hot that the guys throwing them in actually died. And yet they went in faith, trusting God, whether they lived or died, you know, were the Lord's. And they didn't even have a completed Bible, right? They only had a portion of it. What's our excuse?
Yes.
And they're in there dancing with a fourth figure. And changed history. It changed Nebuchadnezzar. Said, okay, from now on, we're gonna serve your God. So that's the thing. I think right now we've got a little bit of a window. I think God's been very merciful to us, especially seeing what just happened with the UK and Brexit, and then America with President-elect Trump. I think we've got a window of opportunity for this great end-time harvest. I think there's going to be a great falling away, because the scripture talks about it in 2 Thessalonians, but I think there's going to be a great end-time harvest, which it also talks about. And the harvest is plenty, the workers are few. There's the remnant guys like us out here, beating the bushes, trying to get your attention, trying to reach people everywhere we can around this world. This is the final hours. So let's do everything we can to get our hearts right with the Lord, and trust Him for every detail of your life.
Yes. Absolutely, yeah. Two simultaneous harvests I see happening. One is the great falling away, and the other one is a harvest of souls for the kingdom. And it will be, I think, a dividing line of black and white is what's coming. And we know that with the Revelation chapter 13, that all that worship the beast and take the mark, we know what happens to them. They are thrown into the lake of fire later, and those that don't take it, there'll be a complete separation. You're not going to have any halfway mark. You're either in or out. So whereabouts, again, can people find your music and your books and your church on the internet?
Well, we are on the internet as the upperroomfellowship.org, or you can put in Casper McLeod Ministries. It should go there as well. On the music, it's from S&T Records, and I love this label because it's all about Jesus. It's not like the other kind of labels I've ever been approached with. These guys really want to serve the Lord and put Him first in everything. So it's all about, you know, getting the music out and blessing people. It's CasperMcLeodMusic.com. Casper is CASPAR, because I'm with the Holy Ghost, not the friendly ghost.
Yeah.
And McLeod, McCloud, so CasperMcLeodMusic.com.
That's great. Have you got any sort of closing thoughts that you would like to share with our audience? And also perhaps you could pray for our listeners, because you have a powerful prayer ministry.
Well, I would love to. We just thank you, Papa God, for all that you've done in these programs with Tony and Minute to Midnight. I thank you for all the people that are listening. I thank you for blessing them. I thank you, Father God, that they are able to renew their minds at the washing of your word, that we don't have to conform to this world and fashion ourselves after the superficial things that are going on in this world, but we can come and be transformed, and our entire mind can be transformed by your holy word, as we continue to meditate. And you said, Lord, that our faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of God. So we thank you, Lord, that we continue to do this, that we can think the way you think. We could put on the mind of Christ. And so, Father God, I just pray that if there's somebody that doesn't know you yet, that they've been struggling with all kinds of things in their life, and maybe they think that they're not good enough or for whatever reason. But, Lord, you said we just come as we are. I'm just going to pray, Father God, in the almighty name of Jesus, for anybody that wants to pray along right now. We just come to you now, Lord, in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ and Israel, Messiah, Yeshua. We freely confess and we admit that we haven't been living our life right. We haven't been living properly. And we recognize it now, Lord. We recognize those areas that we've gone amiss. We've gone the wrong way. We've offended people. We've been offended by people and situations. We ask you, Lord, please to forgive us now for all our sins on both sides of our generation, all the way back to Adam. And just fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, you said if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we would be saved. You made it so easy, Lord, that anybody can do this. So we just thank you, Lord. We would come to you right now with all our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ, Messiah Yeshua, is Lord and Savior of my life. I thank you for coming in. And so now from this day forward, that I would live a life that's glorifying to Christ. Lord, I just believe that you died in my place as payment for all my sins, and that you rose again and you defeated the power of sin and death, that I might be saved and I can be born again right here, right now, because you're so merciful to forgive me and to wash me clean from all unrighteousness. And I choose to forgive from my heart now all those that have wronged me, including the places that I've wronged myself. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me. I'm so just eternally grateful for what you've done for me. I pray this in the almighty name of Jesus Christ and Nazareth, Messiah Yeshua. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And if you just prayed along with it, contact Tony or contact me. Tell somebody about it. And we're just going to pray. Thank you, Father God, that they would come and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You would just work with them and get them water baptized. Get them on the narrow path, Lord. Surround them with ministers and people that would just love on them and nurture them in the right things. They get into a good Bible fellowship, and they would learn your word, and they would apply the your holy word in their life, and you would just bless them in all good things with the blessings of Abraham. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's been great, Casper. I've loved having you on for these two shows. I'm sure we'll have you back, and I'd love to keep in touch. And I really hope people will check out your books and your music. And we look forward to hearing more of what you're doing in the days ahead.
Well, I look forward to coming back, and I look forward to getting you on as a guest with Spiritual Encounters. And we'll change seats, and I'll get to interview you.
Okay, that sounds like a good scheme. So thank you for that. And yeah, we'll catch you later.
God bless everyone. Good night.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed having Casper on for that second interview. Remember, you can find all of our interviews and also well-written articles at www.aminutetomidnight.com. And we have a donation button on the website. Please realise that we do survive on donations. That's the only way we are able to keep this running. So there's only a small number of people that do give. If you're one of those, we're really grateful. Thank you very much. And if anyone else wants to help us out, that'd be greatly appreciated as well. And I write and record all the music for our shows. And at rockshoresounds.com, you'll find royalty-free production music and sound effects packs, really cheap. If you need sound effects for videos, etc., don't forget to check out rockshoresounds.com, and there is a link to that on the A Minute to Midnight website. Also, feel free to join our A Minute to Midnight Facebook group if you want to contribute to conversations. We have Brooke running the Facebook group, and she does a wonderful job of it. And Joni and I also contribute to that group quite a lot as well. So, yep. That's about it for today, and we will look forward to chatting with you in the next show. We have more great guests coming up in subsequent shows. Until then, this is Tony signing off.